And mahalo for listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Out of the Box. And we are community radio. So it's we've got Kauai's version of what's going on in the world today. I was listening to Democracy Now! That you can hear that in the background. We're fixing up our studio. You know we need some donations. We got people working hard, but I will scoot them out of here in a little bit. So I was listening to Democracy Now! Today, and you know, we're hearing almost every place in the world is being manipulated by crisis while good people are standing tall, and it was really, really interesting. You know, comparatively, Kauai is still a beautiful place on this planet, and we thank you so much for supporting KKCR as we approach another fund drive that keeps free speech radio on the air. And, you know, one way to support us is as an underwriter or a wave rider, so please make sure to thank these good people for keeping us on the air. So, Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kalaheo Chiropractic, Qingyang Village, and plenty of other great, great organizations from around town.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
This is Ron Whaley, KKCR, Hanalei. And KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And we actually put out a big thank you to Els Bells and our work community that's in here that is really making a difference. And I've got Marshall helping me with the phone lines.
Aloha, Felicia.
Aloha. So it's 826-7771 that's going on here. So let me tell you what's going to happen on this show. And sooner or later, our darling Jimmy Trujillo will be surfacing. But in the first hour today, we are blending our Hawaiian roots and our mainstream local issues. So we're going to be talking about demonstrating empowerment. We're going to have mostly call-in guests that are expected. Some might come in. But among those is Koho'okahi Kanuha. He was one of the very strong protectors from Mauna Kea. He's going to be coming and talking, teaching at the Halawai Kuakoa classes. Those happen at 5:30 on Friday, one Friday a month at Wilcox Elementary School from 5:30 to 8:30, and really great education happening there. And it is, you know, if I had to give just a description of what we're learning about, I would say, you know, Hawaiian history with details in it is a little unnerving because I don't know about what will happen tomorrow, but, you know, there's a lot of factual information there with looking at the key documents, and you see where, you know, history hasn't been taught right. Maybe if we're generous, we can say everybody forgot about what happened. At one point, it was intentional. But it gives a lot of credibility to what that community has been saying for some time. Umi Perkins is going to be another guest there. He's not going to be calling in here, but we might be hearing from him on Saturday at another show on Kauai Community Radio. But he's teaching on Native tenant rights. And all these people are good teachers. So we'll be looking at those things. Certainly, Koho'okahi's message is going to be more about the influence in the presence. He was very key in the Mauna Kea movement. I shouldn't put that in past tense because it is still something that is underway. That's with the 30-meter telescope being put on the mountain, and something Koho'okahi did is he got arrested a couple few times, I think, maybe two times. But he made the courts do his whole trial, at least for him, in Hawaiian. They couldn't speak it, but they had to get interpreted, and he was making a strong point.
Where does it stand with the with Mauna Kea at this point?
Well, they have to go through the permitting process all over. There is, and we can ask him when he calls in too. We can get it straight from the horse's mouth, a little bit, okay. Little bit stronger. But just because you did ask, they're going through the permitting process again. You know, and the people who stand to have a lot to gain there, you know, they want to fast track that as much as they can, and it's a tough thing because it's really cool to know what's going on out in the universe, and there's lots of other telescopes that were designed, and these things cost, you know, over $1 billion. I mean, there certainly is the argument that life on Earth here, too, is precious and needs to be looked at and helped, but that is something. And then other calls that we are expecting in, like Saishim is one of them, about these are the Va'a crews, the people that do the sailing canoes. So the Hiki'anilea, which is at the small boat harbor right now in Lihue, that really was a New Zealand or Aotearoa sailing boat. It accompanied the Hokulea for the first portion of its journey. Well, we'll hear from Sai a little bit about what that is. Hokulea, by the way, you know, was in Cuba at the same time Obama and I believe the Rolling Stones were coming in right behind them, you know. It's just like these guys are going around the world. Pretty amazing.
I missed that about the Rolling Stones, but I did catch that Rolling Stone magazine endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay. Actually, I'm not supposed to give my opinion, but right. That's kind of tough for me to hear. The Hokulea is in Florida now. Leilani, who might be coming in here, she will be joining the crew in the East Coast in Florida and kind of going up north with that. Moku Pu'ule Chandler, he's a little bit quiet guy, but he's such a beautiful soul. I am committed to getting him in here to talk about some of his experience from Africa to Brazil. That was a beautiful one. And in the second hour, Peter Adler, who is the main facilitator, contractor for the joint fact-finding study, he's going to be calling in, and we're going to be, you know, talking to him about what's up and what's going on, and we'll be taking calls for him, too. So we'll have him on the phone, but we can take other people who might call and have questions. That joint fact-finding study is where representatives from the seed company that use the pesticides and people who are concerned about
the pesticides work together, decide what, you know, what was up with that. I also am expecting Mason Chalk to try and call in because the county is working on the budget today. They have the overviews for the 2016-2017 fiscal year. And I was trying to watch it online so I could have all that detail. You can hear these people in the background. Should I scold them? Hey, you guys are doing a good job. But, and, okay, so it didn't work. I couldn't watch it online, so shame on me for not being in there. But I was making poi. I was at poi, and that's always great at Waipaw.
Yes, and we could ask Mason about the council's decision to reject salary increases, too.
Yes, we can, and I was there, so I saw that.
Oh, we could ask you.
We could ask me. We could ask him. And you know, there's since those people aren't here yet, you know, that you brought up a little bit about the election. You just mentioned Rolling Stone magazine. So I, like, when I look at my Facebook flow, almost everybody that seems to be active on my wall our Bernie Sanders supporter is. And so it seems strikingly silent of any kind of presidential politics. I just opened Facebook up for a little bit today. So tell me, how did it go on Tuesday? I know Arizona was saying they were for Hillary, but a lot of votes were suppressed.
Really? I didn't hear about suppressed votes.
Oh, big issue.
In Arizona, really? Well, I know there's incredible voter turnout there.
Well, what happened is they had 200 precincts that were going to be taking it, and then at the last moment they cut it down to 60. So there was hours and hours and hours of lines. A lot of people, once they got to the polling place, they said, oh, well, you're not registered as a Democrat or you're an independent, and they're like, I've always been a Democrat. So a lot of people were bounced out. I don't know if they'll be able to make that work with provisional ballots, but it was... I have a lot of friends from Arizona, so I did
see. You know what? That's
that.
Right, actually, that it wasn't a record turnout. There were record waits.
Like 6 hours.
Right. So there was less opportunity to vote. Same amount of people, longer waits, longer lines. And so who does that disenfranchise?
Well, I mean, you know, it could disenfranchise anyone, really. I mean, I think where it would disenfranchise it the most is if it's there's a rather large Hispanic community there. So if they take it, the polling place out of those locations, then it would be, you know, targeting probably what are supporters for the alternative candidate, you know, that would be Bernie.
Right. So, well, there are also... Well, there were record turnouts in Idaho.
And who did they vote for?
They voted overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders.
Really?
Yeah. So, and Iowa did the same.
Overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders?
Yes. And so, you know, that was the good news for the Sanders camp on Tuesday. Unfortunately, Arizona was a big prize. There were more delegates at stake there than in both of those other ones combined. So, yeah.
What was the percentage?
Oh, what was the percentage?
Okay, he's going to look it up. But then Trump, he took Arizona, like, you told me last time by a landslide, but they'd only counted 1% of the vote, so.
No, that bore out in the end, he did. However they do their statistics, they were right.
And then what about Iowa and... Idaho, is that what you said? The I states. Did those go to Trump as well?
You know, there was a Republican primary in Arizona, and and I honestly can't remember whether the other Republican one was in Idaho or Iowa. I think it was Idaho. Maybe somebody could help us out with that. And let's see, Iowa. No, Iowa it was. And Cruz actually won in Iowa with 27.6% of the vote, gaining 8. And you know what? I said on Tuesday that it was remarkable that Donald Trump had come away with all of the delegates in Arizona. And actually what I found out was that was a winner-take-all state.
Oh, okay.
So he got most of the votes, and of
so he got 100% of the delegates. Oh, okay, I see. And then, what about Kasich? How's he doing?
How is John Kasich doing? Well, he's not doing very well. The only primary he has won is in his home state of Iowa. there's gymnastics going on in here. In Ohio, his home state of Ohio. And so not much more of that. His, you know, he's hanging in there. If it does go to a contested convention for the Republicans, the possibility exists that they're going to be, you know, looking around for an alternate to Donald Trump. If nobody gets a majority of delegates going into the convention for the Republicans, then it goes to a second vote, and all bets are off. No delegates are pledged, so they can vote for anybody they want.
I think that that's going to be a very big deal, though, because if you have this many people, he's getting the overwhelming majority, right? Or maybe he's not getting the majority. Is he getting the majority? He's getting it overwhelmingly. He's having overwhelming success, so for them
In some states, he is getting the overwhelming majority of votes, but when you count up all of the delegates that all of the other candidates have won versus what Donald Trump has won, he still has not come up with the majority, over 50% of the vote, and is maybe on the path to doing that, but that's just still a maybe.
So did you find out, we asked this question last week, when somebody leaves the race, when they're done, like Jeb Bush or something, who gets their delegates?
Yes, they become unpledged. They become free agents.
And they can just make their decision up as they so choose?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, and so this Saturday is the caucus, or the presidential preference poll. I've understood that that's the right word to say. And so this is going to be actually eliminating a lot of voters because it is really only 1 hour's worth of time for the most part. I'm sure they're going to keep the poll open as people are coming. You know, if there's a big line, that they'll do that, but I'm helping with the Kilauea one, and it's just people. So it's like somebody in that area, so then they're, you know, we're struggling to try and be in there at 12, but really there's an earlier activity till 12:30 in the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, Neighborhood Center room. So, you know, we'll be out there a little bit earlier, but people, if they have not registered for the Democrat Party, they could be very helpful in downloading the paperwork, if you have a printer, off that, and then fill it out. So when you come in, it can happen quicker. You should have an ID. If you can, print out a few extra in case some friends don't have that. What would be sad is to have people show up and that there's a problem, like not enough of the paperwork there for people to be able to vote. But you're holding your computer up. What do you have to say right there?
I was contacted by one of the organizers of the Princeville polling place, and she sent me a list of questions and answers on commonly asked questions about the presidential preference poll. And it's something she thought we might like to share. And
maybe we can get that after our call. This might be one of my scheduled callers, because what we are going to be looking at is, you know, there's a lot going on out in the world, but there's also a lot going on here in Hawaii. Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
She should be.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Felicia. It's Joey.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I have a quick question. A lot of us are a little bit confused because I've never participated in a caucus before.
Okay.
And we are still going to have a primary in September like we normally do, correct? Where we can vote for our specific party, whether we want Hillary or Bernie.
No, you cannot. We will have a primary, I believe it's in July, We have a primary in July, and you will vote on that for our House of Representatives and our county council and those local things. But there will not be a presidential position on there. It will have been chosen before then. So there's going to be a convention in Washington, D.C. That's the Democrat convention. Maybe Marshall knows where the Republican one is. But this is the only time in Hawaii this Saturday at roughly 1 o'clock of when people...
Why? Don't we... I mean, last time we voted for Obama, we didn't do this.
Yes, we did. We did. Well, in the middle election, his second one, he had no challenger when he was the incumbent.
Okay, so maybe the one before.
But the one before, when it was Clinton and Obama, Hillary Clinton and Obama, like where I went, which is the Kilauea Neighborhood Center, it was so full we had to move into the gym. And so what happens when you go
in
there?
I remember now, yes.
And so that time we just wrote down a name on a piece of paper and we put it in a box. This time there's a little slip of paper out that has five names on it, although last time I believe there was that too, but they ran out of papers. So people used an extra piece of paper. So I recommend people bring pens and paper. And then so everybody put their name, the name of who they wanted, in a box. And
okay.
And then what happens there, because it's very folksy, the volunteers, like I'm a volunteer in my polling place, they separate it out, they count it out, and it's a lot of effort is made to make sure that it is balanced. And people
right.
typically hang out and watch to see who gets the most count. Like last time, Barack got about 85% of the precinct where I was in. So it was overwhelmingly obvious. It wasn't like, well, we need to recount. Like in some of these places across the country, it's been, you know, very, very few votes that split the difference of who has won and who hasn't. But that happens, and then people should be prepared, if they have any interest at all, to stay a little longer, because there's an after meeting where they decide who are the delegates for the county. And then that would be also impacting who are the delegates at the state level. Then at the state, they pick who are the delegates that get sent to Washington, D.C. Oddly, we're still in the time of riding on horseback, where we have a republic. So people vote, and then there's somebody who represents that vote and does a secondary vote. Our elections aren't on raw numbers. That's why, like, when Al Gore had more votes than George Bush, still yet George Bush was determined by the
delegates.
Well, he was actually, it was so close, but he was determined by the Supreme Court to have had more delegates. So
but the thing is, but didn't I hear you guys say that in some states Bernie had more votes, but Hillary had more delegates? Is that correct? Is that what I heard you guys say?
Well, when you count the superdelegates, yes.
It just doesn't make sense.
But the superdelegates, the superdelegates aren't committed yet. You know, like right now we have in our superdelegates Governor Ige, Hirono, Schatz, and Mark Tsakai, as all said, there for Hillary, and only Tulsi is for Bernie. Those are
right.
some of our superdelegates.
It seems like if we all said, let's say I'm a Democrat, and I said I wanted to be for Bernie, and the majority, let's say 75% wanted Bernie and 25% wanted Hillary, and for the delegates to pick Hillary, they're not voicing my vote.
That's right.
You know, my vote doesn't count.
It's unlikely.
People get disinterested.
Unlikely that they would do that, actually, and that's part of the reason the Democrats want people to turn out. They don't want people to get turned off and stay home. And so if they decide they're going to go with the candidate that the underwhelming minority of people voted for, they're going to get a huge proportion of the electorate just staying home. And that's not going to help anybody. So the superdelegates, if Bernie Sanders has a majority of delegates otherwise, are fairly likely to switch over to him.
Right.
But that's, you know, and nothing's guaranteed.
And here's an example. I just had a knock on my listener text me in here. So we had something not quite accurate, and the media spins it wrong, and so we're responding to the media. In Arizona, Hillary got 41 delegates, and Bernie got 2. Idaho, Hillary got 5. Bernie got 18. Utah, Hillary got 5. Bernie got 17. So the total, Bernie actually made more delegates on Tuesday. Collectively, Hillary got 51 and Bernie got 57. So
is that right? Does that include superdelegates?
No, it's not the superdelegates, but it's the regular delegates. So when we see, that's what happens when things go to Washington, D.C. They look at the collective. And 8 years ago, and I'll be honest, I voted for... I voted for Hillary in the caucus because I felt like Barack didn't have any experience. And I thought, well, he could be the vice president. And then he won, and all right, I was fine with that, too. But it was thought that she had this whole thing in the bag, and in the end, she did not. And like our district, we did 85% for Barack, but, you know, he didn't do that. That wasn't a reflection of Hawaii as a whole.
Right.
You know, this delegate system for the Republican and Democratic parties to nominate their candidates is really not a democratic system. It's just how they've decided to run their parties. And it is not even regulated legally the way other democratic processes would be. For example, if the Republican convention is contested and it goes to a second ballot and all the delegates are free to vote as they choose, they are also free to be swayed in their vote as they choose. And that includes up to and including cash, actually. Votes can be bought and sold of delegates.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are bringing up good points. And, Joey, thank you so much for your call. And I've got another caller holding.
Thanks, love. Okay,
aloha. Thank you. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A Kilauea. This is Out of the Box. And in this moment, we are discussing presidential politics. We'll be moving on to some other topics. Oops.
Did
I lose him? Uh-oh. Caller who was calling in, can you please call back? Did I lose both of them?
We have no one.
Okay, so man who called in, please call back. I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
So the Democratic primary itself will be on August 13th. So there will still be a primary. There we go.
Aloha, KKCR, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling back and stuff.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
You know, they
should
make it easy to vote. The way they have it set up is you're supposed to come at 1 o'clock and stuff. So, you know, for the regular primary, it's open all day and stuff. So let's say there's an appreciable amount of Democrats showing up. So it's just going to be a big fiasco and stuff with everybody there at 1 o'clock. They say come at 12 and then, you know, they don't say if you can vote at 12 or whatever. They say come at 12, and then the vote's at 1. Then if I've looked into the literature at the Democratic thing on their website, they say voting, everybody will be able to vote, but they don't say it'll be open till 4 o'clock or something. I would prefer to go down there at 3 o'clock. I don't really care about voting for the inner party guys.
Well, but
I'm
one who's saying come at 12. Mostly it's saying 12:30 to 1. And I just say that is not realistic. And if a lot of people show up, you might have trouble finding a place to park. Let me support what you're saying. What is problematic, and then I will tell you why it is this way. But when I look at it this way, like a business, maybe they have 25 people working at it, and here it is, holiday weekend, you know, spring break, day before Easter, they can't let all 25 employees go. You know, you can't even let half employees go. And how do they get from where they live to their precinct? Maybe they have to drive a quarter of the way around the island to get to work. It's, you know, this isn't intentional by the Democratic Party. It's not that they're trying to do that, but this is a very big bummer because I think it biases against the people who have to work for a living, people who are struggling.
Yeah, well, I even have the day free, but I just don't want to stand down there all day long and wait in line and stuff. And it seems like no matter how many people they have to work down there, it would seem like they could say, we'll be there from 12 to 5 o'clock, and you can cast your vote then. I mean, I don't even understand. Do I have to be there with when everybody – do we all have to be there when we vote?
Yes. What happens is, I mean, you could go in and you could circle the piece on the paper, you know, the name of who you want.
Right.
And you could drop it in a box and you could walk away. And you don't have to
be
there for the count.
I could do that at 12 o'clock and be gone at 12:15.
No, they're going to do the count at 1, and I'm saying, and maybe others, but I've said 12 o'clock because they're saying come from 12:30 to 1. At 1 o'clock they count. But if there's a lot of people, it might not be that everybody can manage to do that vote that quickly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And also, what's the difference? 12 o'clock? Everybody's got to be there at 1 o'clock, right? That's the way don't we agree about that? It seems like that's, if you want to make sure you get to vote, and I do want to vote, you have to be there at 1 o'clock.
That's correct.
Which just means there may be a whole mess of people.
That's correct.
All at the same spot.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
So,
but.
So it just seems like, I'm not looking forward to going down and doing it and stuff. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was kind of actually fun last time. I mean, I was surprised because it's really folksy. If Felicia could wave a magic wand, I wish we had a town hall style of government. I think that that's the more awesome kind where people actually raise their arm and say, this is what I want. But, okay, I don't get to have my way.
Okay, well, that's okay if you want to do that, too. But they should still have it open and say you can vote from 1 to 4 o'clock or something.
Okay,
like.
But I can't.
It seems like that would serve the Democratic Party purpose and stuff. You know what I mean?
So let me tell you where the precincts are.
There's I already know I'm going to go down to the neighborhood center
okay.
or whatever, you know.
Because there is, there's one, two, there's about, I got to count them, but there's about maybe 12 precincts, so it might not be that crowded. You know, maybe people don't show up. That like when
we'll see, but I still have to plan on being there at 1 o'clock.
Yes, you do.
So far.
So,
you know, if I come at 2 o'clock, they might say, oh, it's too late.
Correct.
So you can't vote before 1 o'clock, but if you're there after 1 o'clock, you're too late.
Are you asking
me? Okay, so I just called up and
made
a point.
It's not
making it hard to vote.
Okay, so let me help you with it a little bit and why it's this way. Is... Normally, the government puts on the primaries, and there's an election committee. There's like the election department, and they go in. I forget what it's called. It's SEC, but they go in, and they run it all, and they've got a whole budget for doing it and everything. This, there's not money behind it. There's not people, you know, it's just people, you know, helping. And so probably any one of these precincts needs a little bit of help from people. And so it's just folks doing it. It is not the normal way. So that's
okay,
why...
that's another issue. That's another issue. In other words, I agree that there's probably dedicated Democrats that are going to go down there. It's not just like a regular primary and stuff. But even so, why can't they just say you can vote from 1 to 4 o'clock is my point. That's all.
And you can't do absentee either.
And you can't do absentee and you have to physically be there.
I understand that. I'm just saying... the only way you get to vote, as far as I know, is to be there at 1 o'clock, which you already said 8 years ago it was a big, too many people in Kilauea.
Yes.
So that's all. That's all.
Okay. I'm sorry. Not my fault.
No,
okay.
I know it's not. I'm just pointing out that
it's
wanting
a bummer
to vote, and I tried to gather more information, like could I go down there after everybody else? It doesn't seem like a wise idea.
Yes. The answer is
okay.
No. Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
After the precinct meeting, or there will be a precinct meeting. Here we have a caller.
Yeah, you could say that. I just wanted them to stay on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You know, I don't vote because it seems like they're pretty much discouraging me from doing it. It's too complicated. The rules change too much. I can't figure it out. And so it's pretty much designed to be exclusionary. And also, crowds kind of shut me down. Just being in a crowd with that many people and having to wait there for that long, that disqualifies me. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I mean, my short answer on that, you know, you're free to do whatever you want to do, so I have zero judgment. But what I reflect on is how many people have died to have the right to vote. you know, people have given their lives to try and create an environment that is that way. So when I experience similar frustrations to you, I just try and remind myself of that and just go, okay, well, how important it is it to me that we have this choice? And for me personally, it matters. So I will go out there and vote. And am I a bit of a jaded person on the whole electoral system? Yes, but still yet, I am participating. But many people might feel like you do. But I hope that people bridge that and actually go and vote, because we don't want to be herded like sheep.
If you're going to bring up dead people and people dying for the right to vote, why are political parties so disrespectful? And they're the obstacle for people voting, at least in Hawaii. The you know, it's not even voting. It's indicating a preference.
That's correct.
What is indicating a preference with it not being binding for anybody to pay attention to what you do?
I'll tell you, we actually have it good here. There are many states, actually Republican ruled states, that are actively and intentionally passing laws, changing things to make it much harder for certain segments of the population to vote.
I would agree with you, and I think that our kind of Byzantine system that we have here, well, if it wasn't done by intention, it has the same effect. And if that's the effect, I would say that the politicians did it that way deliberately, because it's not a new issue. It's longstanding criticism, and they refuse to entertain changing anything.
Well, I still express gratitude for people who might be listening that are helping to put this on, because it is just volunteers going out and doing it. And so I have gratitude for them. I have gratitude for the fact that we're not out there in freezing cold weather and snow.
Where are the volunteers putting pressure on the Democratic Party to change their system to make it friendly to the people?
Well, here is one piece of that, is that you can stay at the precinct meeting after the presidential preference poll vote, and the grassroots leadership will be elected, as well as the delegates to the county and state conventions. So the Democratic Party is run by people, and you can be one of those people. So,
and you can express your point.
Why would I want to do that to myself?
Yeah, right? Well,
because you might care about the outcome, you know. I mean,
I am jaded about the political process. I do care about the outcome, but it doesn't matter who gets elected, because the system is bigger than any individual. And anybody going into the system with any kind of decent motives is defeated by the system. They can't maintain it. If anybody with honesty generally gets sidelined, made dysfunctional. I mean, if you can see, our county council will do that to people. The county council opposes somebody, they will view them as disruptive and make them 100% ineffective.
And you're talking to somebody who's pretty thick in the middle of that. So thank you so much. I just have somebody else holding. But okay, I appreciate your Mana'o.
Okay, bye.
I do want to squeeze in here, Felicia, that this information that one of the organizers for Princeville sent me says that there is the question, what time will the polls close on March 26th? There is no official end time. Polling will begin promptly at 1 p.m. It will continue until all members present have cast their vote. We advise you to arrive before 1 p.m. to ensure that you're in line and will be able to vote. Sounds like you have to be in line by 1. And then that they're going to take the vote no matter how long that.
Right. And so somebody might not be paying attention to the back of the line, but it's the good point is to be there. And it's not like they're going to go ding, 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 and
right,
everybody who didn't get to the front of the line doesn't get a vote. So
right,
it might be that it lasts longer and, you know, people would be, you know, they're taking a risk if they come a little bit later. But, you know, just kind of look at it as, hey, fun with your friends and people from your neighborhood. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air. Aloha.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Felicia?
Yes?
This is Sai.
Hey, Sai. Thank you so much for calling in. So I'm going to just help the listener to know we're shifting topics a little bit. People can call back about this other stuff, but I had a wonderful time coming and seeing what you were doing on Wednesday. And you want to tell everybody what that is?
We're on board the Hikialalia. I'm actually here with Ben Kualoa. And we actually sailed her over from Oahu. And this is actually the second time she's been here on the island.
So this is a traditional sailing canoe.
Yeah, the traditional sailing vessel that actually started the Malama Honua voyage with Hokulea, which is going around the world right now, and had left Cuba just a few days ago and is actually heading up to Key West, Florida, and going to go meet with the First Nations there.
The First Nations, that's what they're going to do in Florida?
Yep. They're going to go meet with all the Seminoles and, our brothers and sisters across the world.
Well, wonderful. So, I mean, this has all been really great. And you sailed over recently from Oahu. What's your experience when you're doing sailing canoe work, Va'a? How does it impact you?
Well, I got to escort her on a voyage from Big Island to Oahu. And then I waited for the Kauai crew to come fly in, and we actually were able to sail her over with the Kauai crew, which is really just really great having a solid crew from Kauai with us and connecting that way. The first time we all sailed together, or at least a bunch of us, and it was a night sail, so we left in the afternoon, and it was great. Actually, we got here in record time, according to Captain Bob Perkins, who was our captain at the time, and took about 13 hours. And then we came here, got greeted by our Imi Noao group that was all here doing the Worldwide Voyage crew training at the KCC, which was the second year we did it here at Kauai. And it was just really great connecting with everybody and having everybody. I'm watching sailors go on right now, and the boat's almost tipping over. But, it was just really great, Felicia. We actually had people from the Japan Maritime Tech School, and just really connecting with guys that are all interested in the same thing, which is really reviving our culture and providing another way of schooling. And basically, we're having we're all getting hot right now and trying to keep the flames burning.
Keeping the flames burning, yeah. It seems like, you know, actually the flame is on the rise. I mean, it's pretty amazing that we've had Namahoy, which is our vessel, our canoe that was built here in Kauai, and Lihue right there, and now Willy, it's getting ready to go out. It's going to become an active voyaging canoe. And what you were pointing out to me is that they're dredging the bottom of now Willy Bay in the big boat, the big ship that's out there, kind of cleaning it up. And you told me, like, these Japanese maritime students, they are young, just barely above teenagers, and can navigate those kind of boats.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I was sharing with you yesterday, it was kind of an awakening for us, because we realized that, you know, life for us over here in Hawaii and just growing up in Hawaii is, you know, we're in the ocean all the time. We're running through the mountains, chasing things, and doing, you know, things that are outdoorsy all the time. And you get this group from Japan who are maritime students that are actually driving, like, big barges from Japan to Iran and Africa and all these places. But when it comes to actually being on the water and in an environment like Hokulea and Hikialalia, it's a whole different reality for them. And just, you know, we take for granted how lucky we are to be outside all the time and be on the ocean and be the watermen that we grow up being just naturally. And something I think that all of us, when everybody around us is all in the water all the time, is like normal, yeah? But the rest of the world, it's not normal. But to sail by stars and get taught by the ways that our ancestors have been taught us is not normal. And but we're on the rise of having that flame glow so bright, and having the next generations have be able to create so much more possibilities for them than we can even imagine right now.
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, for me, I'm just filled with pride. I don't like to use that word, but I feel so, I'm proud of everybody, what they're doing with these canoes. Like, when we went to the, are you going to go tomorrow night to the Halawai Kuakoa class? That's I suggest that you do. It's at Wilcox Elementary from 5:30 to 8:30. I'm bringing a bunch of kalo, and there's a lot of food there. It's really good. But, you know, last time we learned about David Kalakaua's trip around the world. He died before he made it home, but he was the first head of state to almost circumnavigate the planet. He went and he did these things, and the capacity of the Polynesian people of what they could do was so profound, and they had so much knowledge, and it is really empowering, like, to be able to be pulling these things back. It's like, I want to say, being bilingual, you know, when you have a connection of being able to live in a way that is much more rooted and inherent in our indigenous selves. Everybody is indigenous to this planet. So, like, when we pull our person that is connected to nature, it pulls a different part of you out. That's what I think. And so...
Oh, yeah. And also, just being on the canoe with all, you know, we have Japanese, we have people from all different walks of life, businessmen, to guys in... just working, are working in the tarot patches all the time, and guys that are just trying to survive, reviving our culture, and it's not the easiest, but once you're on the canoe, it's like the world. It's like your little world, and you either work it out, or it's going to be a long ride. So, you know, they figure out, and it's really respecting each other. It comes with a lot of compassion and humble and humility, and just, it's really an honor for all of us to be on be in the positions that we are, that are, you know, have the ability to be crew members and the potential to be crew members.
And if somebody wants to be a crew member, what steps do they take? And I know that you're here to really educate others. It's not really just a trip for you all. It is an invite, right? You're here inviting people to come.
It's an invitation to every person on the planet, really. It really is, and it really is just a matter of showing up, participating, put your hands on it, and, you know, eventually just being around the crew and being around the Ohana Va, it captures you, and then it kind of just, it's hard to get away.
So tell people how they can find you.
Come with all their different agendas. We have different scientists that want to do the science thing, and we have teachers that want to do the teaching things, and we have sailors that just want to sail. We got brothers that just want to be on the boat, and you know, we just want to. It's there's all different reasons for being on, but once you're on here, you gotta be able to work with everybody. You gotta be able to listen. You gotta be able to act quickly and be safe. And you know, the most important thing is that when we leave, we come back with the same amount of people we left with.
So
there's nothing more important than that.
Tell people how they can find you.
Hikialia is going to be down at Nawiliwili Harbor, right next to the Coast Guard Station. We're docked right there. We welcome everybody on board. We encourage as many children and young adults to come, come as many as you want. We have crew down here that can show you around. Everybody's welcome aboard. Tomorrow we're actually having a Teacher's Day or Educator's Day that, will be open for all the teachers or whoever is an educator and is interested in learning about, what it's like being on the canoe and actually be able to come on board and walk through and check everything out. And
okay, so I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to give people directions because I kind of struggled to find it yesterday. So
other thing is you can also go on to namahoy.org.
Namahoy, namahoe.org. But so people would go down kind of right near where the cruise boats are. They go a little bit further, not the road right next to the food bank, but the one after it. So it's like you're going to Niamalu Canoe Club area down there. And then you'll see a sign that says Small Boat Harbor, and you're going to go almost all the way down to the jetty. It's like you're in the last slip. So that's really nice. And so this weekend you're going to have kind of a workshop?
Well, actually, we've just finished a four-day workshop with all the crew members, potential crew members for the Worldwide Boys and the KCC. Tomorrow we're doing it with the educators, and we would show up for the gathering tomorrow that you talked about up at Wilcox, but we just got a crew call for 3 p.m. tomorrow, so crew call, when crew call comes, the crew can, you can be there, and crew is, and you're a crew, so we're excited to just get out there and sail some more and learn as much as we can while she's here. The plan for her is to actually go back to Oahu after this. We'll be sailing her, hopefully a crew from Kauai will be able to sail her back to Oahu, and then she'll dry dock for 2 months and then start. Hopefully the plan is to actually head up the West Coast and with a crew from all over the...
Well, wonderful.
All over the state.
That's really wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing that. Do you have any final thoughts to share with the listeners?
Yeah, just to let everybody know that the Namahoy is ready to go. We're excited. It's been 17, almost 18 years, maybe even 18 years since she started being a thought. And so excited for Uncle Dennis and over John Cruz and all the guys that have just been putting their sweat and tears into everything. And been a long time waiting, and Hawaii is going to have their own canoe, and we're looking forward to the snowballing effect that it's going to take on everyone across the island.
Well, that's wonderful. And, you know, it is having a snowballing effect, and I would say that something that has been pretty well laid to rest, that like had been what was being taught, is almost like the people who became the Hawaiians were just got lucky and drifted off to Hawaii from Tahiti. But now that has been so refuted multiple times, and to have this sailing canoe be making it around the planet, pretty much in a traditional method of navigating, and, you know, if people see it, it's so small, really. I want to get some of the team, like Leilani is going to go, right? What's Leilani's last name?
Leilani Jocelyn.
Leilani Jocelyn. She's going. Yay, you know, that's a big thing. Moku went, you know.
Chandler just came back from from Africa to Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, I think people often think that it's like, oh, it's a, you know, it's those guys' canoe, and it's, but it really, I can't tell you enough that it's as much everyone else's canoe as ours. We hold it because we're there, but it's as much for the whole island. It's, when we get her in the water, it's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We encourage as many people to come on. It's a historical event. We haven't had one of these in hundreds of years, and it's our own.
Yep.
Something that for us to be proud of, and it's going to be the largest sailing vessel that we know in all of Polynesia. So.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. It's bigger than the others? I saw it there. It's right there next to the Department of Transportation building there at the port.
It's the real super ferry.
It's the real super ferry. So, mahalo nui for all that you're doing, Sai.
Yeah, you're welcome, Felicia. Thank you, too.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Okay. Look forward to seeing everybody. Aloha.
Aloha. So that is really wonderful. And I've gotten some more texts from people about the election thing. So with no disrespect to jumping back to that, I have been asked to share with people that where these election spots are, because not everybody does know. So from Haena out to Princeville, go to the Princeville Community Center. Kilauea, I think Tomoloa, I know that the little maps are out there, but it's what's called District 14-2 is at Kilauea Community Center. Anahola Community Center is the Anahola area, that's District 14-3. Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, District 14-4 and 5. Lihue Neighborhood Center is District 15-1, 2, and 3. Hawaii Government Employees HGA, the union that is that at that hall is 15-4 and 15-5. Kaloa Neighborhood Center is 15-1. Kalaheo Neighborhood Center is 15-2. Kaumakani Neighborhood Center is 16. I have trouble looking at that. Okay, excuse me. Kaloa Neighborhood Center is 16-1. Kalaheo Neighborhood Center, 16-2. Kaumakani, 16-3. And 4 and 5. And Ni'ihau, they don't have a location. So I'm sure they can figure it out a little bit over there. There's not a lot of voters, but anyway, that's what it says here, the location at Ni'ihau. Do you have some of those question and answers? I see that you're looking at something there, Marshall, if you want to share them.
You know what I was trying to do is find a prediction for Saturday's poll, see if there's some polling on the poll, see who's leading. I think generally Hawaii is expected to favor Bernie Sanders, but we shall see, and I just wanted to see if there's some solid numbers on that. But
I don't know how they really figure it out. You know, I think that the people who are professional or financially comfortable are going to be the ones who are going to be the most able to go and vote. And so that typically are people who might be more in alignment with Hillary Clinton's campaign, because that would be something as seen as the status quo, where Bernie Sanders' campaign is really somebody saying, hey, let's change this this direction that we're in. I mean, that's how I see it. I don't know.
Why do you think that about it being people who are more, what did you say?
Well, the people who have a little bit less economic freedom because they're at work and you can't get away and
It's Saturday.
Most people work on Saturday. Most people here work in the visitor industry, or they, you know, it's not that easy to get off work.
Okay.
And so you're in your place, and a lot of people anymore can't afford to live, I mean, to work in the areas where they live, so it can be a distance. So it's just a concern I have, but it's nothing official. That's just my instinct.
Okay. Well, I won't tell you what my instinct is.
Okay, then. What is your instinct? I won't tell you.
My instinct, without giving any personal prejudice or preference or otherwise, we're going to go big for Bernie.
Okay.
Honestly, yes.
Okay, and all right, so that's a really good thing. Do you have any final thoughts? Is there some good questions in there? Because I'm going to open up what people can expect in this next hour.
Well, if you want to know why you can't vote by absentee ballot, where you go, how else can you get involved? Well, if you're traveling, what can you do? Can you register and join the party the day of the voting? We covered that. You can, but it's better if you do it earlier. And, you know, I think we've covered it all.
Okay, so after the top of the hour, we're expecting Peter Adler to call in. He is with a joint fact-finding study, and so we will be hearing some input about what has happened in terms of what is considered a balance group thinking, if the questions that were asked by the people who are concerned about pesticides are valid. So you are listening to Kauai Soapbox. Excuse me? No, I'm in here for Out of the Box, and this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
GoFarm Hawaii at Kauai Community College is a not-for-credit program offering those interested in agriculture a combination of knowledge, experience, and support to assist them in becoming viable production growers. Wednesday, April 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. is the Ag Curious Seminar held at KCC's OCET building, room 106 C and D. Hear from successful farmers about their growing experiences and learn more about the GoFarm training program. More information and RSVP at 245-8318.
Aloha, KKCR Ohana. Kauai Community Radio is constantly evolving. In January, we will begin the 2016 KKCR Strategic Plan, and you are invited. In a series of public meetings, group discussions,
Neil Norman,
collaborative
and the Hawaii
workshops, and awesome station parties, we will review and rededicate ourselves to the future of Kauai Community Radio. Please get involved in the future of your radio station by emailing strategicplan@kkcr.org and stay tuned for more updates about the KKCR Strategic Plan, and mahalo for your participation.
Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We have a real quick call right now, and aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, Felicia, it's Aurelius. Just one thought real quick. I know you got a guest calling in.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage everyone to not be discouraged by the hoops that you have to jump through to get your vote counted. It's just important enough. I'm taking the day off. I'm losing money, but it's just that important to Hawaiians and Americans in general. And it's called voter suppression to make it work. But let that be your resolve. Let it encourage you to make that extra effort to vote, because it just matters that much more when they make it hard.
And I would say bring a friend, bring some good little foods to do, and just decide to be happy.
To your friends, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it can be really fun and exciting to be participating.
I think it's so important in terms of people that have been affected by corporate power to go out and make their...
Are you there? Aurelius? You're breaking up?
How about that?
A little better. Uh-huh.
Okay,
You're going away. Okay, I guess we've lost you. So, we should be having Peter Adler call in any moment now. And then another element that I think that we're going to be hearing about a little bit later is the county budget. That is a very big deal, and people can be watching it online, and it'll be on the TV and, on Hoike.
Okay.
Good. So, what are you looking at in the budget, Felicia?
Well, I think it's very important that they're looking at how we get the money coming in. You know, there's so many areas where we are behind. We're behind. One thing you brought up before is that the Salary Commission, they came up with their ideas of how to give people raises, and it was voted down. No one got a raise. No one at all got a raise. And you might think, okay, well, nobody should get a raise because we don't have any money, and, you know, how are we going to be raising all of this? But the other thing is that, you know, people get picked off from the county. A lot of these young employees come in, they get competent, they get capable, they make all kinds of connections, they're really good, they got a family to support. To me, I watch it, and it's almost like going to graduate school. You know, you go work for the government for a while, and you get good at it, and they're talented, and then really the people who take, who are kind of crowding the rest of us, their lawyers pick up the best lawyers, you know, or the first string. You know, the ones coming up behind, they get good, and the more they're able to be right at the top, but it's an issue. So there's a lot of different elements that happen there.
And then what do you call when the people, the higher level employees are actually making less than the people below them? So salary inversion?
The salary inversion, and we have a lot of examples of that. And so that's because the unions are able to make, you know, they make the agreements, and that happens at the state level. The county doesn't really actually even have any part of that bargaining unit. They're not part of the decision making. It just happens. And so those pay go up and go up and go up. So it might be somebody two or three tiers below the department head. Might be an exaggeration, but not too much, you know, make more than the department head. So it gets hard to attract fresh talent. It gets hard to retain it. And it's, you know, it's hard to actually get people to move up from being a deputy director of something to the director, because they not only get a lot more responsibility, but they get a cut in pay.
So what do you actually see on the ground happening as a result of the way this is set up at this point? What happens when these more experienced, more well-connected people go because they're not making salaries comparable?
What happens when they leave? Well, right now we don't have a county engineer. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't have a county engineer, so we have an acting director of engineering.
Yeah.
We have holes in what's going on. And then, you know, we have a learning curve. Everybody can make mistakes. Everybody's learning. They're all human. Everybody's trying. And so it takes longer to do things. We have a few little missteps. It's
so
an issue.
What's the result of not having a county engineer?
Well, we might be a little bit slower in taking action on things. We, you know, potentially could make some mistakes. I don't really want to be giving a hard time to the person who is standing in that.
Right.
He does a pretty good job. So his name is Lyle. Hey, Lyle, I'm not giving you a hard time.
But
thank
is his authority limited?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Right.
But mistakes happen. You know, when we have mistakes that go on, and so
you want the position to be filled.
I want we want the positions to be filled, for sure. So, I mean, those things are issues. I think I'm going to play a song I'm going to try and figure out how to get a hold of my person who I know is standing by and waiting to come on the air, but we are not getting them on the phone, so I'm going to try and work it out. So I'm going to play a song, and this was one of our guests. He didn't quite get in here yet, too, also, so this is to him.
I will go to the volcano, melt my heart in Mauna Kea snow. I will go to the volcano, melt my heart in Mauna Kea snow. Get waist deep, yeah, get barreled. All the gifts return tenfold. I will go to the volcano.
I will go to the volcano.
Melt my heart in Mauna Kea snow.
Melt my heart in Mauna Kea snow.
Hell, good thing I don't require my Twitter. Makes it easier to move and stand straight up. A little tough love and a gentle touch. The more I struggle, the more I'm stuck. Hard, the less I speak, the more I know. Faster I move, the slower I go. I will go to the volcano, melt my heart, Mauna Kea snow. Water my horse horses like it taught me to.
Water my horses like it taught me to.
The spirit guides, yeah, the spirit moves.
The spirit guides, yeah, the spirit moves.
I water my horses like it taught me to.
Water my horses like it taught me to.
The spirit guides, yeah, the spirit moves.
The spirit guides, yeah, the spirit moves.
Your hair like sweet grass braided through. We stay busy, we always do. My developing stain of consciousness. Endless roads, nothingness. A city's filled with emptiness. Crowds of faceless ignorance. I'm over it, I'm over it. Pull up my anchor, sail my ship. Countless ways to feed my kids. Countless ways to route my trip. I'll harvest this and replant it. Harvest this and replant it. Oh, oh. Like when the mother let the father kiss the horizon and gave birth to stars. Or when the lovers turned into thunder, then came the breakthroughs, then came the storms. Well, I'll keep traveling till my heart finds peace. But even when it does, I'll keep moving. Cause there's so much to see. Ground beneath bare feet. A lovely dark little loneliness. My greatest teacher, peacefulness. The wolf I bear, the forest with. The ever-present kiss of mindfulness. How compassion wets my every step. What about those shimmer and reflect? And hold my shield up, must protect. What a suffered heart, suffered neglect. How initiate this son of God?
Initiate this daughter of God.
Make us work and feel each part.
Make us work and feel each part.
Initiate this son of God.
Initiate this daughter of God.
Make us work and feel each part.
Make us work and feel each part.
Nurturing my Jurassic heart. Galaxies and these birthmarks. Initiate my father God. Let him die, let him move on. Initiate my mother God. Let her live forever strong. Like when the mother met the father, kissed the horizon, and gave birth to stars. Or when the lovers turned into thunder, then came the breakthroughs, then came the storm, then came the storm. What a beautiful life, looking through these eyes. What a beautiful life, dreaming with this mind. Without the lens of mankind, without the crutch of my sight, I can pierce through the night, surrendering to the Most High. I can reach to the heights, I and I and I and I. What a beautiful life, what a beautiful life. What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life. What a beautiful life.
What a beautiful life. That's Nako Bear, and talking about Mauna Kea. And we're going to be hearing some stuff about Mauna Kea this Friday. Hey, you know what you can also hear about that is today at Hanalei School at 6:30 is the wildlife people that are responsible for the... they are having a farmers public meeting at Hanalei Elementary School at 6:30 p.m. This is the they call it HCP Habitat Conservation Plan. And this guy Christian, his number is 320-3191. But that's a good thing to come here. Like this is if the the nene are eating up your birds, you know, if you have a problem like that. So that would be great. If you do, then you can go to that meeting. And there's also, you know, Hana Pepe is having a big event this weekend, too. A lot of different things, and I see that Los Lobos is coming in and soon. Jimmy just walked in, and maybe he can call Peter Adler.
Yeah.
So he's going to give him a call, and I know that I've got some people sitting online looking to do it, I mean, to talk to him. So Peter is responsible for this joint fact-finding study, and that is a great piece. So let's see if we have him on the line. Okay, Peter, is that you?
It is me.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling KKCR.
Sure.
So, you know what? For the listeners that don't understand what the joint fact-finding study is, maybe you can tell them just a little bit about it.
Sure. This was I think most people understand what an independent fact finder does, which is try and investigate a situation and gather facts and come to some conclusions. And this is a joint fact finding, which multiplies the number of people involved, and they're all from Kauai. This was set in motion largely by Scott Enright, director of the Department of Agriculture, with some co-funding from the mayor's office. And the whole idea was to really take a hard look at the pesticides that are used in relationship to the seed companies and the biotech companies that are largely on the west side, though, as you know, they operate elsewhere, too. So we spent a year working very hard. It's a great group, all Kauai people. And the project was managed by myself and some of my colleagues. But the results are really their work. And they've done a terrific job, a courageous group and a hard-working group, and we now have a draft, and we're welcoming factual corrections and additions to it.
And so a number of people have had different reactions from it. What, to me, when I read it, you know, it kind of supported both sides, but really at a powerful level, it said the same thing that the people who were concerned, that were part of the 2491 movement, that was saying, hey, we need to know what's being sprayed, when it's being sprayed, you know, how close we are, and that they basically said that there's not enough science behind, or not enough
evidence.
Yeah, and what we did was we read through a lot of the testimony from 2491 and 960, and we looked also at other writings about Kauai biotech companies and the critics who raised questions. We tried to understand those assertions, and we boiled our work down to five particular questions that we thought we could try to answer with facts, as opposed to just strong feelings one way or another.
And Peter,
and
what
one of those was, well, how much land do the seed companies and Kauai Coffee actually farm? And two, what pesticides do they use, how much, when, and where? Three, is there any discernible evidence of environmental harms? Four, any evidence of human health harms? And five, how effective is government oversight and regulation? So we tried to really focus on the facts there and tried to, you know, not be swayed one way or another, but rather let facts jump up and speak to the tough issues that you folks are facing on Kauai.
Well, thank you. Peter, this is Jimmy Trujillo. I finally made it into the studio. And
hi, Jimmy.
Welcome for listeners that are just joining us. We have Peter Adler on the phone. The joint fact-finding group, Peter, this is a process that your group, the Accord 3.0 Network, does work like this in other places?
We do. I've done this on a number of issues, along with my colleague Keith Mattson and others that are part of our network. We are not a formal consulting firm. We are a network of people. We work together on projects as the need arises, and this was one that we wanted to do. We've done similar work on some issues in Chinatown on transportation. I've worked on geothermal issues on the Big Island and the assertions of health harms from hydrogen sulfide.
Mm-hmm.
Did a project similar using joint fact-finding on the mainland when I was working there. on next generation nuclear power plants and the issue of their actual costs per kilowatt hour.
Wow.
So I've done a number of these, and they're each one's different. Each one's a little got its own chemistry and its own distinction, but always the focus is on trying to gather evidence. That's the key word, evidence. What's the evidence we have in front of us?
I want to just backtrack to a little bit about the participants and this joint fact-finding group. It's a process that you guys are using to bring in, if you will, diverse stakeholders, not always, if you will, on the same side of the fence of the issue at hand. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. And we know that everybody on Kauai has predilections and viewpoints, but the question was, could we find a number of people who had good training in one or another sciences?
So what was some of that, if you will, sorry to interrupt, the background of your participants, and then can you, if you will, name those community members
sure.
that participated?
Yeah, I'll just walk you through the list.
Thanks.
And some of these are people who you and your listeners will know, and others may be less well known.
Sure.
But we had folks, Adam Asquith, who's got a PhD in entomology and has done a lot of work around extension for the University of Hawaii Sea Grant Program.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Evslin, who's an MD and a semi-retired physician and is board certified in pediatrics. We had Gerardo Garcia, Rojas Garcia. We wanted people from the seed companies. I know there were people who said you should not have anybody from the seed companies, but that would be like saying we also don't want any critics. So, mm-hmm. you know, we wanted to, the key here is to try to find some people who are diverse and balanced. So we had Gerardo, who's got a master's degree in agricultural engineering and works for Dow Agro. Sarah Stein, who's a plant scientist. She has a PhD in horticulture and is a senior researcher at DuPont. Kathleen West Hurd, who's got a PhD and is a resident on the west side, has a PhD in planning and mm-hmm. specializes in land use. Doug Wilmore, who's an MD and a retired surgeon and quite a brilliant scientist. Kavika Winter, who's got a PhD in botany and is director of the Limahuli Garden and Preserve. And Louisa Witten, who's got lots of credentials in the world of organic agriculture and is a certifier herself. We think it was a pretty good group. Roy Yamakawa was originally part of the group and stepped out of the process mm-hmm. as a result of some sort of, I would call them, methodological differences of opinion about how we should be doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I was sorry to see him go, but...
Would you say that suggests that the recommendations and the report will be somewhat consensus-based or consensus-driven, that all sides will be adequately or appropriately represented?
Yeah, I think that I would say there's general concurrence. I think every one of them would have some differences on the details, but I think what will come out largely will be the broad concurrence that says these are the facts, and these are what we think our conclusions are from those facts. And then we are going to make room in the final report for each of the members to write their own individual thoughts, and those may be dissents or they may be yes, and here's some other things I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be in the final report.
And Peter, there was an article in the paper and some people here who were very concerned. They went over to speak to Scott Enright and Governor Ige, and Governor Ige hadn't even read it, right? And he seemed really unaware of most of it. So people felt that was indifference.
When was that, Felicia?
That was last Friday.
Yeah, I know that he's Department of Health, Ginny Pressler, Scott, and a lot of the people who are working in particular issues in this area are very aware of it. I think there's been some briefings. I've not talked to the governor about it.
Well, we had a meeting.
I can't speak for or against what his levels of interest and knowledge.
Well, we had a meeting recently, and it was great. Senator Ron Cochi, Ginny Pressler, Department of Health, Department of Ag, Scott Enright, and then Clarice Gardner from Governor Ige's, his representative, they came to a meeting with a lot of concerned citizens. And what's difficult to understand is how much do people have to raise their voice to have it acknowledged? It seemed to me that joint fact-finding study acknowledged it, but then... You know, there's another voice that says, yeah, it just said there's no evidence. And you know, that the seed people seem to think it completely validated their own perspective that they're not harming anything. So
it's kind of interesting that everybody can read in and pluck out things that they agree with.
Yeah, they can find what they agree with.
Is that a sign of a good job, Peter? Do you feel like
who
that?
Knows.
Well, I think
it's a sign of a strong piece of work. You know, this is not a scientific research project in the conventional sense,
mm-hmm.
but it is a gathering of research and data as best we can. And so I'm not surprised that people on different sides might declare victory. I do think there were some editorials, both at the Advertiser and in Civil Beat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean their articles, but their editorials, which I thought were reasonably balanced.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't slant it one way or another. They seemed to understand what we were saying, that there was some, there's a need. We can't prove or disprove health harms or environmental harms.
Mm-hmm.
But that there's a call for much more, much better data collection, health surveillance, those kinds of things.
Do you have any?
And I'm hopeful that's going to have a good impact.
Do you have any sense that it will? I know when this first came out, the reaction was just an overwhelming relief and positive, and then it has softened to, you know, what I'm feeling I hear is cynicism. Like, yeah, they don't even care. They still don't care.
I'm not ready to say that. So, and I remain reasonably optimistic.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, let's talk a little bit going forward. We have this meeting on Kauai. It's going to be on Monday,
April 4th.
It's kind of a later in the evening event, right? Starting after 6, am I right?
Yeah, it starts at 7. We'll run to 9.
7 to 9.
If we go a little bit over, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not a public hearing. I want to stress that this is a briefing and an informational session.
So an informational session that if you will, Accord 3.0 Network is providing for. Is this, if you will, your official presentation of it, or has the county kind of been briefed by your team?
They've been briefed. The county mm-hmm. and the state have both been briefed.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the governor has been briefed through his departments,
mm-hmm.
department heads.
Right.
I wasn't part of that, so I can't say what he knows or doesn't know, and so I'm sure that he's been briefed. You know, as a governor, he's got lots of things on his plate.
Exactly.
I don't know what the
sure.
depth to which he
right.
has studied this, but I know the Ginny Pressler has read it pretty carefully, and Scott Enright has read it pretty carefully,
mm-hmm.
and some of their key staff members have reviewed it, and we're still waiting to get good comments, factual corrections, and additions from them too.
Right, and so you're looking to receive feedback or comments from public during this, if you will, next period. But on Monday, the 4th of April, it will be mostly information going out from your team.
And what we will do, though, we will also invite. We're not going to have microphones and people come up and give testimonies. That was 2491 and
mm-hmm.
other hearings, and that's...
we have plenty of information.
So
yeah, what we're really focused on is, again, if we've missed something,
mm-hmm.
if we missed some critical... research that's been, you know, quality research, it's been peer-reviewed, or it's a meta-study or meta-analysis, and have we missed some data? We don't know that we've got it all, but that's why it's a draft.
So thank you, Peter, and this is a call-in show, and so we do have a caller to join us. Are you fine with that?
Sure.
Okay, aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Hi, Clayton.
Jimmy, how's it going?
Oh, good, Clayton.
Hi, Clayton.
What's up there, Peter? How are you doing, Peter?
I'm good. I'm having a hard time hearing you, so I may ask Jimmy or Felicia to translate.
Sure.
Okay, and so, Clayton, speak fully. Your voice is soft on this line. So what are your questions?
Soft on this line. Okay,
yeah.
I guess my question should be this here. All the research, all the data, and I really hope that something is going to happen. From what I've been told, something is going to be happening about this issue about you know, the pesticide, insecticide, and herbicide and fungicide that these companies use. So, you know, we shall see, and that's the best word that I can say. We shall see. But another thing is this: I really hope they never had too much compromise when this draft first came out.
So, Peter, are you able to hear him?
I'm not catching everything that Clayton's saying, so maybe when he finishes, you can summarize it for me, the questions or comments.
I hope so that how can I put it into words? Yeah. Well, I'm going, let me start all over. I really hope so that things that was found, that I hope you guys never leave nothing out in the sense of compromise. Okay?
So let me,
compromise.
So, Clayton, let me interpret that for him because he's having trouble hearing it. Clayton is concerned, he's hopeful that there is not compromise, that you have not left something out, or that elements haven't been left out. Because, Clayton, let me ask you, how do you feel about the outcome of this report?
The first draft.
Yes.
Okay. I kind of feel hopeful.
You feel hopeful?
Yeah.
Good.
I kind of feel hopeful, but no matter how much, and I'm going to use the word, thousands of recommendations that the fact-finding can recommend, but if it's not implemented, then what is the sense?
Okay, so you are actually echoing what I say. I was really pleased with the recommendations. So he's asking Peter, what is the sense if these recommendations are made, but then they're simply ignored? Like, where did we get further from having this?
Well, I it's too soon to tell for me because we haven't finished the report. I'm optimistic. I've had some conversations with several people in the state who are, I think, paying very close attention to this and will want to carry forward some of those recommendations. We know that there needs to be much better baseline studies and monitoring and surveillance, and I remain very optimistic. You know, I'm sort of an optimist, basically. I believe the cup of life is more than half full. It may have a little arsenic in it or something, but I do think life is, I'm optimistic, and if I wasn't, I wouldn't do this work. So, and I certainly wouldn't want to waste a year and have nothing happen. So I think you've got a group of people who are very committed to the things that they have agreed on factually and want to see those recommendations carried forward. We're not done yet. I mean, we want to listen to what others say that we've missed before we do our final report and finalize the recommendations and the conclusions.
So when people give
you... We're still in transition here.
When people give you feedback, can they suggest recommendations, or you just want to know, hey, you missed this piece or you missed that piece? I know that you don't want anecdotal stories, but can...
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we read a lot of the testimony of from the hearings that were conducted on Kauai. We're pretty conversant with the issues. So it's less about just saying, you know, I think we should, do this or that. We really are trying to get down to factual pieces. And just to be blunt about it, you know, we know that there's a lot of factual missing pieces. This is a big puzzle, and there's a puzzle pieces that are missing, and some of them change size all the time. So it's a complicated picture, but it's not an impossible one. And I think everybody joint fact-finding agrees that
when the Department of Health
loved, we need never good, much better information.
I guess never do good recording of health data, yeah? And here, I get one more question.
Okay, and then I'm going to let you go because we don't have a good connection. Okay, so one more question.
Okay, and another thing is this, yeah? Had actually, was it 9 or 10 people?
I think it was 9 people. Is that correct,
okay,
Peter?
There were 9 originally.
People. And what I saw was only 8 names.
Because Roy left.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so, you know, what happened when that guy left? You know,
the most I'm going to say is that I think he had differences on our process.
You,
he had a different way he wanted to do things. I really regret that he left. And
okay.
Mahalo, Clayton.
But, you know, I have great respect for Roy. I know him from other work, and I wish he would have stayed, but we carried on. And I'm sure he'll have his own comments on the report too.
Sure. And let's talk a little bit about the report, Peter, if we will. What would I haven't. I'm like the governor. I haven't read it.
What?
160 odd pages, right? 10 chapters. A beekeeper, if I'm interested in this, where do I want to look? What's going to be of most interest to me? And what would maybe you would direct listeners to? Obviously, they could find the draft report on your website.
That's www.accord3.com.
And I want to just throw in here, it's not hard to read. So that's a compliment to you, Peter. It is, I felt...
Easy to digest?
Easy to digest. I really want to say thank you for making
Thanks.
This be something that the common person could read. And when it is 160 pages, it's not like it's a book that
mm-hmm.
big. The columns aren't that wide. And I also want to appreciate the appendices. It's important for people, and you can correct me on this, Peter, but I think it's important for people to look at the appendix because that answers the questions, says who. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of people looking at it from different angles, and some people will only read the executive summary, and others will do what you're doing, Felicia, which is dive into a lot of the details. To answer your question, there are 10 chapters. And most of those are, you know, 10, 15 pages long. One chapter is trying to really ferret out exactly what the agricultural footprint is by the seed companies
mm-hmm.
and Kauai Coffee. And, that wasn't as easy as you might think. Second was really trying to understand exactly what pesticides are in use. And a lot of our information really comes out of the Good Neighbor Program, which has been heavily criticized. But we've tried to put some of the pieces together from Good Neighbor and from other sources. The chapter, I think, Jimmy, that you would want to look at would be Chapter 4, which is about environmental impacts. And that talks a bit about pesticide migration and environmental sampling studies.
But on page 50.
Talks about surface water and aquatic systems, what's coming up in those in the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a section on bees, butterflies, insectivores, that kind of thing. So everybody on the JFF has really pitched in to help reach out to find the right information
mm-hmm.
and to gather as much data as we could. And the goal of this next period up through after, you know, the public comment period is during that is to try and say, what did we miss? Did we miss something? Is there some further studies? But quality studies, real studies, the best stuff is always peer-reviewed. And what did we miss? And
mm-hmm.
is there some other data sources?
Mm-hmm.
For example, do the beekeepers have some data that we miss? Do do some of the folks who have environmental focused interests in water or nearshore marine resources?
Sure.
What have we missed?
Right.
So we really want to get that stuff so we can take it into consideration before we finalize. But can I just say
yeah,
one more thing?
Please
you know,
do.
This is this group. It's not. It's really that this group of 8 Kauaians. Who really worked their buns off on this thing. They really worked hard. And frankly, it's a courageous thing to do because I
yes.
know how much emotion runs with this issue. So they've been very brave and they've worked together and they have produced some pretty important work.
A shout out to the members one more time. We're with Peter Adler here on Kauai Community Radio talking about the Joint Fact-Finding Group. Like you said, a group of 8 Kauaians dedicated for over a year to service and providing you with information. Can you give them one more time an acknowledgement and praise in their name?
I mean, Adam, Name them.
Sure.
Listeners that weren't with us
Adam, I'll go in reverse order alphabetically. Louisa Witten. Kavika Winter, Doug Wilmore, Kathleen West Hurd, Sarah Stein, Gerardo Rojas Garcia, Bill Evslin, Lee is his real name, but he goes by Bill, and Adam Asquith.
Yes, they've done a really great job.
Mahalo to them.
And what I'm looking forward to, I see the industry is seemingly more receptive after this couple-year process.
Well, how
process.
Could they not?
How could
know,
they not be?
Right?
But I just want to acknowledge that they
I mean,
are.
They've been more responsive than government has
in many ways. They have been
And
responsive.
I'm not an industry supporter,
and
if you know what I mean.
I'm not either, but I... And then for market reasons or whatever else, their footprint on the island
mm-hmm.
is less than it was, and that when they have given away, I mean, you know, pulled out of certain areas, it seems that they're being conscious of moving away from neighborhoods, that as they are letting land free, that they're being conscious to not be right there.
It's likely we won't have another stinkweed incident at a middle school.
It's likely we won't have that. Pioneer did a really great conversation with everybody saying what ways they're mostly moving indoors, and it might be market-driven, but it's still happening. It's getting better. So those are good things, and, you know, I look forward to being able to utilize this information for a constructive way to figure out a new pathway. And people say, oh, that is overly optimistic. But I'm going to hold, that's my optimism, is that, you know, the market and other things can drive this to being a little bit more a desired practice in the community. And Syngenta has a big handout of, you know, green efforts that they're working towards to be rehabilitating land. And so I want to at least acknowledge that there's an intention. And that, so that's a coming together in a better direction. Have you seen that, Peter?
Well, I surely did on our committee. I mean, people worked pretty hard together, and everybody understood that they came with from different corners on this politically.
Mm-hmm, right.
But they were really focused on saying, well, what are the facts? What's the evidence? And what does the facts tell us? And what can we agree on instead of just focusing on what we disagree on and just focusing on the emotions of it? So, I'm not trying to take all the emotions out of life. That's not my goal. But the goal really is to try to have a higher level of conversation and discourse as the issues continue.
Right.
So, that's great. So if people want to give their feedback, where do they send it? Is there a phone number?
So we are taking,
email?
There's a place that if they go to the report, they will also find the place that they can send their comments to. And it is jffcomments@gmail.com. I encourage them to look at the report first so they're not just, you know, generalized comments about GMOs or biotech. Yes, I like them. No, I don't like them. But they're really focused on the issues that we are studying here.
And, so that was JFF, like Joint Fact Finding Comments,
yes,
at?
JFF Comments.
At?
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
And I can tell you, I know I'm getting a pile of comments that are fairly general and looks like, you know, there's some campaigning going on, and that's fine. But we're really interested in factual critique. That's what we really will prize out of this. People can say, here's what you missed, Peter and group, or here's what I would correct, because it looks like you didn't get the data right.
And
that's what's going to be really helpful.
And then, Peter, after the public comment period is over, what would be your anticipated finalizing?
Yeah, good question. I hope it will be by the 15th of April, but it may take us a little longer depending on the volume of information that comes to us.
Have you gotten much feedback? I saw that the industry had feedback out like that morning.
We had some, but, you know, that wasn't most of what we've gotten so far is fairly general commentary. And I do know that several people are working on some very focused critiques of what we've done. And will come to us with that, and that's what we really will value the most. We're not trying to dismiss anybody's opinion, but we are very focused on what does the data tell us, what does the research tell us,
and what's missing,
or what did we get wrong?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. What did we get wrong? You open yourself up to a myriad of complaints or critiques, criticism of either the process or the outcome. How are you dealing with that criticism? Is it surprising
for
you?
Well, I've kind of, I've got Kevlar pants on. So, I understand that emotions run high on these issues. And on Kauai, there's a tough history around these issues.
Right.
So we're going to try to be very respectful of whatever we receive. But all I can tell you is that we will really appreciate the factual evidentiary information and the research information. That's what's going to be real helpful.
Mm-hmm. And again, then this information will be shared with who in that final draft form?
The whole JFF group will meet. We'll work through that once we have compiled all the information that has come in. And we will also post these public comments later on. We're not going to post all the stuff that says I hate GMOs or I love GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to, all the factual critiques that we get, we will publish. It may not happen right at the same time as the final report comes out, but we will do it.
And that'll be on your Accord3.com website.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Felicia, you have another?
Well, I just wanted to thank him for calling in and helping to keep this focus, because sometimes people get an opportunity to respond and, you know, it misses them. And I'm somebody who can deal with detail, and I've looked at it, and it's a little overwhelming to know exactly how to respond in a meaningful way. So I haven't written something yet because, you know, I appreciate what's in there, and you know, I have to like go out and really research and study to find these extra spots.
And we may get more after the fourth, between the fourth and the eighth. We may get more. Mm-hmm. I want people to have heard what we're after mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, and so, Peter, one more time, the meeting is coming up. When and where, what time will folks need to be there, and what can they expect?
The doors are going to open at 6:30 at the Kauai Veterans Center.
What day?
We'll start at 7 o'clock.
That's Monday the 4th of April?
Monday the 4th, excuse me. We'll have a little background on welcome. I've asked Sabra Kauka to do a little blessing for us and give us a call for wisdom and civility.
Thank you.
And excuse me. And then we'll have a briefing on what's the summary version of what's in these main chapters, what are the recommendations, and then I'm going to do a moderated discussion with the panel.
Oh, great.
And we will welcome on cards questions for clarification or factual additions. People say, "Yeah, you forgot about this study," or you know, we will also try to answer factually what if there are clarifications people want.
You know what I like when I go to things like that is if there is those big display boards that have different aspects of it, so people can put like little post-it notes on it if there's something where they're reacting, so they can put this is the most important element to me or not, because it allows people to participate that don't necessarily have a PhD.
That's a good idea. We hadn't thought about that, but let me see if we can work that out logistically. I will also tell you that Hoike is going to film this,
mm-hmm.
so they have more, you know, wider access. The room holds about 400 people at max. you know, once the room is at capacity, there people can stand in the back, I reckon. But
but a charrette style will help. I'm just making a recommendation.
Yeah.
So if people can kind of walk in and walk past and look, and so that they can see, okay, here was the environmental place. Here was, you know, chapter this or chapter that,
sure.
and what it's looking at, so they could say, this matters, or this is my fear, or duh. So it's just little tiny post-its, but they can feel that they saw it if they don't have the patience or the time, or it's crowded, because people will look and leave. Some will do that, you know.
Like sure. a Saturday's presidential preferential poll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter, I just wanted to ask in regards to broadcasting and having it available, if possible, would we be able to KKCR do a broadcast recovery or simulcast or tape for later on?
I think so. I don't know all the logistics of doing that, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's just having a mic there or what's involved, but you and I can talk offline on that.
Would love to further explore that with sure. Dean and Dove here as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wonderful. Any final thoughts?
No, I just appreciate the chance. I appreciate everybody's patience with this as this fact-finding group has kind of worked through these knotty issues. And we know we don't have all the answers, but we think we've made a little headway, and we want to elevate that discussion with good facts.
Well, thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Thanks, Felicia. Thanks, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
So moving on, we are at 5:47.
5:47 out of the box.
You're going to be evolving here shortly.
Yep, and Jimmy and Felicia and Marshall are in here, and then we did just...
Hands on our chins.
We did just get...
Brother Joshua in the house.
Somebody in the house. Hold on.
Hey-oh.
There you are. You're mic'd up.
Hey-oh.
Okay, so you must have something you want to say.
Oh, well, I was just on a joint finding mission.
Joint fact finding.
I found some facts.
All right, so let's hear your facts on your joint finding mission.
No, I just wanted to say hi, and I just wanted to actually come on the radio and give a big mahalo to our community out here listening on KKCR. I don't know if you guys are at the weed and seed exchange that had in the at the golf, the mini golf.
The plant and seed exchange. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And Marshall and I are like key people putting that on.
Having,
so of course
having,
you're
yes,
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, having a growing revolution.
Yeah.
So I was there that Sunday,
yeah.
and I brought some some pamphlets and some plants.
Information
and
to share.
And a plant to share with a patient over there.
Some shareables.
Yeah, and then I also bought some seeds because, you know,
it's a seed exchange.
Yeah. So I got that out to the community. And I just wanted to say mahalo to all the guys that had invited me out, everybody that was showing support.
Good.
Just wanted to say thank you, everybody.
Okay.
All
the listeners.
It must feel good to hear that, right?
Yeah, we really love it for all those.
That was your first time, right?
That was my first time.
Oh, so what did you think?
Yeah. He's just telling you.
You liked it.
I think it was a great event, yeah.
I was listening, maybe he goes to all of them, but yeah. That was the first time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we had
kind of an eye-opener in some ways.
I was shocked at how crazy everybody gets over these seeds because that was a mad rush.
We had a lot, yeah, and you know what?
It's a frenzy at times.
Next time, like this is our new decision, is that we are going to not pin it to that opening time. So there you go. So here's the plan is that, you know, we'll do the blessing, mm-hmm. but then it'll be just kind of open, you know, through the session, and so people can keep bringing plants in and they can have them leave because we don't want it to be a food fight. It kind of takes some of the energy away from the intention, you know, when people are stressed or kapuna getting elbowed or, you know, it was great, but that was a little piece that was a little bit.
I know my wife has always been like, I don't really dig that energy at that time. It's like the Kapaw Market at 3 o'clock. The bell rings.
Bing! Yeah, so it's gotten a little bit too much like that. So we're going to, next time around, we're going to try it with a little bit more ease. I want to say to everybody, happy Easter on Sunday.
Oh, there you go. Sharing all that good spring love.
Good Friday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And Marshall, thanks for coming in and helping with the Thursday edition of the Kauai Soapbox.
Oh, it's so great to be here on a Thursday.
Kauai out of the soapbox.
Thanks for letting me in the door.
Yeah, no. And mahalo's Felicia for standing in. I knew I was going to be running late again, so we didn't have to put DJ Shoots and Sister L's Bells on the spot. When's he coming in? It's 4:20 already. He should be coming around soon enough. Hey, so we have some events coming up, right?
Yeah.
Our spring fun drive. The dates have been named.
The dates have been named. Do you know them offhand?
No, I'm going to say it's early in the month of May. So I think after the 5th of May and then sometime
in the 20th. I think it ended on the 25th, so it's probably something like that.
10 days?
Like 10 days.
Eight days, 9 days?
And people can be a wave rider. It's a great, inexpensive way to get...
I was just talking to Brother Josh about that on the way up.
It's a really good way to, you know, open awareness up and get people come to your business.
Or your event.
Or your event.
Or your product. Or your location.
You can feed us up here, and then we give you the big shout-outs. Because we have, volunteers up here answering the phones. And I want to say... thank you to the people who've been helping since the last one. We learned that we've gotten $14,000 worth of donations just since the 1st of January. All of it really, really matters because this is volunteer workers in here.
And if you like what you hear, I mean, you know, like how it sounds, but you like what you hear because we're still waiting for, I think, is it acoustic ceilings and tile floor, drywall for the new and improved sound room.
Yeah, we got some echo in here, but we're looking for a good drywaller. Wallpaperer.
Wallpaper?
We got the soundproofing material. We've got it, but it needs to be done professionally. Yeah. So that's why it's sitting in a roll, and we need somebody who knows what they're doing.
So, Felicia, Tuesday show coming up. You'll be covering a little bit of the results of the.
I'm sure we will do that.
Presidential poll.
And we're going to have George Costa in here, who's from the Office of Economic Development.
He is the boss, the OED.
We're going to be brainstorming on what cool things might be helpful.
I'd love to join that conversation with Brother Josh and Uncle George on the business end of it, because what Josh has been talking about, and for listeners that aren't familiar with that voice, bringing another economic cylinder for Kauai. This whole medical marijuana, and now people are talking about growing hemp out there in the you know, wild woolly lands of the west side and elsewhere. It's like, okay, you know, how are we prepared to move forward in that direction? Because there's going to be resistance.
There is. And so there's that. And you know what we're doing with him, too, that day. We were happy Regenerations Botanical Garden. And Permaculture Kauai, we got a bioremediation grant. So we already know that we can bioremediate the soil with mycelium and microbes. I call the microherd and the bugs and all this stuff. But we got this grant to try and prove it to them.
Right. Demonstrate.
Demonstrate. Demonstrate. And so something like, you know, if I could make a recommendation, I'm going to make it. I said we were told that we can't make recommendations on this joint fact-finding study, but a recommendation that I would have, and I could make it directly to those companies, is to be, when those fields go fallow behind them, to be working on bioremediating it. And to me, that is a whole little micro-industry to come in and clean it up.
A big micro-industry.
A big micro-industry, so because it can clean up anywhere.
Where we need it.
And
in
makes,
a number of places.
It makes the land more productive, more fertile, more healthy. It increases the value of the land, if we want to be crass about it.
And it's great PR.
And it's great PR.
And it's awesome PR.
Yeah.
Which what we're doing right now, PRing it out, right?
Yeah. Right. We got Earth Day Rising. Maloma Kauai will be hosting on that weekend of April 23rd. I think it's a Saturday.
And I think it's a Sunday, and I'm helping
with
that.
Oh, is that an event for Earth Day?
We'll get that date.
That's at Maloma Kauai.
An actual Earth
Day event.
Oh. And
it's their fifth or sixth one.
Are they taking vendors?
Yes, they are.
Megan a call. Okay.
Megan Fox a call.
Sure.
Get her up on Facebook. I know she would probably go, Josh, Maloma this is
Kauai,
what we want to do.
And that's going to be up there right near the food forest?
I'm going to be doing a beekeeping seminar workshop, little, you know, teach-in there. So for folks interested.
Kauai Community College.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do something there?
Earth Day? I'm not sure. There's no rumors that I've heard of.
Well, our resident gold farm manager guy.
Brother Eric is going to be back.
Eric Hansen came back from Japan.
He's back.
Refreshed and recharged.
And he wasn't just on vacation there. He was actually looking
at professional development.
You know, seeing what the innovative,
What other islanders do to feed themselves.
What other islanders do.
You know, that's what we got to do. I would love to hear, more about Namahora and, Hiki Analia, the work that gets done on a canoe, right? Got to get done on the island because it got to get done in the planet.
Yes, yes, yes. And I like the fact that we're looking at other islands and not per se a continent to get our ideas from and our modeling from.
Oh, there you go. That's a good point.
Like, why do we look at like the Midwest where they're growing corn to come over here and?
Well, that won't work for you.
I mean,
right?
It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm glad that we got Eric over there trying to put the island sense back into this whole thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of place, you know.
And the Uluwehi program at KCC, they're doing their sustainability summit. There's a lot of intention to be...
And good intentions at that.
Good intentions, and I want to say a lot of some effectiveness.
We're taking action.
Yeah, and
First Friday? Want to talk a little bit about that?
Since you're talking about Kauai Community College and, Go Farm, me and Eric have, combined or collaborated to bring the community a First Friday event, which is, it's basically open.
Tell us.
Open house. Welcome to the Lo'i.
To the farm area.
To the farm area,
At the Kauai Community College in Puhi next to Lihue.
We come down. We start at around 9, do a little light work. We want to bring in a lecturer from the campus to come and talk, a little bit before lunch and then over lunch. So work from like 9 to 11 and then
are
from
you guys
11 till like 1.
Interested in an occasional like little Bioneers video? They're like 20 minutes and those guys are really anxious to be working with us too.
We're definitely interested in community coming and presenting what they're doing in ag, aloha aina.
Right.
We definitely want to set this up as a platform.
Mm-hmm.
I opened it up just for the campus at first, but now I realize that we really need to put community
First Friday back. In the Lo'i is a good idea to
for
share.
The community
put community back in the community college.
Yes. I really feel that's important right now.
Yeah.
So, come on down. First Friday is coming up. I think,
big ups for you.
Next week.
Coming up then, huh?
Coming up next week, so.
How the year is flying by.
Well, we're talking about coming up next, Evolve. Where's our dove that we love so much? He's going to be...
The dove that we love.
Hey, you know what? A lot of people love Dove. He's really...
A lovable guy.
A lovable guy.
Evolving as we speak.
A little... just a little bit more time to do some more joint finding. You know, I think the facts are right in my bag to my right.
Where's Doc when you need him?
Well, it is 5:58, so we do have some time left before he'll just miraculously manifest.
But we come in, and I see they got the county council report on, but it's the county council report of what happened yesterday.
Oh.
So instead of playing the county council report about what happened yesterday, I'm just going to give a lightweight county council report about what's happening Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
All about the budgets.
They're working on the budgets.
Yeah,
they're working really hard on it. And somehow the Hoike presentation didn't work today for me because I was trying to watch it. And, hey, you know what? That's what happens when you don't go in. And it's like, oh, you know. I was, like, all happy to sit there and look at it on my computer. And guess what? It didn't happen. But.
Felicia, can I just say mahalo for, you know, going and sitting in all these meetings and actually, you know, being present there.
Being present.
You know, because that is, and then bringing that to, you know, back to us and sharing that. Cause
sharing out.
It's really like that. I mean, that, you know, we all working. And so to have somebody in those meetings and just putting up with the monotony and the,
Well, actually, I want to receive that and say thank you for thanking me. Because,
bingo! Boom!
Sometimes it takes, you know, it takes some really robust energy to sit there and watch it. And I want to say that for the people who are in those positions, they don't have as much latitude as we think they do. You know, they're pretty narrow, locked in there on the laws. And so it can be a difficult thing to be doing something. It's easier said than done from the outside, but it's detailed and nuanced, and you have to sit there and really watch. And
yeah, no, like, I really appreciate when people, you know, pay attention and participate. Thanks, Josh, for acknowledging Felicia's hard work and dedication in that area.
And thank you to all the volunteers that are actually in the government. There's all these boards and commissions and all different kinds of people. There's a lot of energy.
That's how it should be. The government of the people, by the people, for the people.
And
take it back.
Hey, are you going to go to the Halawai Kuakoa tomorrow night? Or tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Show up. Okay.
What time? Felicia?
5:30 to 8:30.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, Dove that we love.
Dove that we love. We're evolving. Bingo, bango.
Pico,
bango.
Yeah.
Feel the beat.
All right, do we have the music on?
Yeah, feel the beat. We're grooving. Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you.
We were just wondering, Dove, when did that guy show up?